Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
What is the greatest threat to Christianity? Stop and think. What truly is the greatest threat to Christianity? Is it the rise of atheism throughout our world? Is it some aspects of our culture? Is it essentially evil itself? Or violence? Pope John Paul II was asked this very question, and without hesitating whatsoever, he said the greatest threat to Christianity is ignorance. Now, when you stop and think, well, that is so true. If we truly do not know our faith, then we won't be able to speak about it with confidence. We won't be able to pass it on to our children. And we won't be able to defend it. Now, all three of the scripture readings for this weekend speak to us about this threat, but they also tell us or teach us how to overcome this threat. Go to that first reading from Acts of the Apostles. Peter says what? You denied the Holy and Righteous One. You acted out of ignorance. Basically, Peter is telling the Jewish people, because they were ignorant of Christ, they put him to death. And so ignorance leads to disaster. So how can we combat ignorance? Well, through knowledge. We call it in today's day and age, faith formation. Or lifelong faith formation. Now, that's a great segue into the gospel for today. Now, today's gospel is very confusing. We're coming in at the very end of a story and we're beginning a new one. It's essentially the end of the story of the road to Emmaus and the beginning of the story of Jesus' appearance to the apostles. Now, we all know the story of the road to Emmaus. It begins with two disciples leaving Jerusalem. So immediately, they're walking the wrong way. And they don't understand the events that they've witnessed, Jesus' passion, death. And now they're hearing people speaking that Jesus is alive. And so Jesus comes up to them and they don't recognize him. And it says he opened their minds to understand the scripture readings and how they referred to Jesus' passion, death, and resurrection. What is Jesus doing there? He's forming the minds of these two disciples. He's providing knowledge for them so that they understand all these events. Well, later on, they see Jesus in the breaking of the bread, and they run back to Jerusalem to tell the apostles. Well, that's the very beginning of today's gospel story. The two disciples just got back, and now they're telling the apostles what occurred. And then suddenly it said, Jesus stood in their midst. Now, that's a great portrait of our church. Jesus in the center, the apostles all around him. And yet, we live out that picture each and every time we gather for Mass. Jesus is always at the center of our church, and we are gathered around him. So then it begs the question, where does peace come from? Or what is the source of our peace? Essentially, our peace comes from by gathering around Jesus, just like the apostles did. Now, the problem for many people is they think they can find peace or joy in the things of this world, whether it's fame, fortune, money, materialism, power, honor, notoriety, whatever it may be. At the very end, they find out it's an exercise in futility. Instead, what we recognize, true peace, always comes from being gathered around Jesus Christ. Now, it says in the story that the apostles were terrified and they thought he was a ghost. Now, you're probably saying to yourself, well, I don't understand this. Last week, Jesus appeared to the apostles and he calmed them down and everything was great. Well, now this week, they're terrified again. It doesn't make any sense. It's not consistent. Well, what we have to understand, last week, we read from John's Gospel and John's account of Jesus' first appearance to the apostles. This week, we're reading from Luke's account of Jesus' first appearance to the apostles. See, then it begins to make a lot of sense. And so, it's a natural reaction for the apostles to be terrified, to think he's a ghost. Think of it yourself. Think of a person that you know died, and now they're standing on your doorstep, ringing your doorbell. Well, naturally, we would be afraid. But remember also, too, we learned this last week. The apostles remember how they treated Jesus. They abandoned him in the Garden of Gethsemane. Peter denied knowing him three times. So they probably think Jesus has come back for retribution and vengeance. Instead, the first thing that Jesus says, peace, I forgive you. Well, just like the apostles, we are forgiven sinners who gather around Jesus Christ, who is our source of peace. Now, it's interesting. Jesus asks them, do you have anything to eat? Now, I think he does that for a number of reasons. First and foremost, remember, it's said in the gospel, Jesus knew what they were thinking in their hearts. And so, if he takes a piece of food, whatever it is, and begins to eat it, he'll prove that he's not a ghost. A ghost can't do that. And Jesus says, look at me, I have flesh and bones. But I think we have to take it to a deeper level. What all went wrong in our relationship with God? Well, you could say a bad meal. It was the act of Adam and Eve grasping at the fruit, the forbidden fruit, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and then eating that fruit. See, essentially what Adam and Eve were doing, they were grasping at God's life and His grace. And yet, it was God's grace and life that God originally intended to share with us in a relationship with Him. That's why it says, before the fall of grace, Adam walked in easy fellowship with God in the cool evening of the garden. God intended to share those things with us. Now, what is Jesus doing here? Jesus, the risen Christ, reverses the momentum of sin that was once created by Adam and Eve. And in doing so, he establishes this loop of grace, in which what? Now the church isn't grasping, but the church now is giving. Go back to the time of the Last Supper. Jesus commissions the apostles, but he also ordains them. And he tells them, every time you celebrate Mass, do this in remembrance of me. Good. Well, the church isn't grasping like Adam and Eve. It's doing just the opposite. Now, in that loop of grace from Jesus Christ, the church is giving. Giving the body of Christ to us. Giving the blood of Christ to us. And when we receive the Eucharist, we receive all the grace that comes with that sacrament. But we also now share life with Christ the way it was meant to be. And see, that's the loop of grace that Jesus is now establishing. After that, it says, he opened their minds to understand the Eucharist and the Old Testament writings, the Psalms, as well as tradition. What is Jesus doing again here? Faith formation. He's forming the minds of the apostles so that what? They can now talk about their faith with confidence, teach it to others, and then also defend it. Now, I've said many times, faith won't grow if we don't want to know. We have to engage lifelong faith formation, whether we're 8 years old or 80 years old. Never stop growing in the knowledge of our faith. I'll give you two great examples. You know, people that go on retreats, they go on retreats maybe every year or so because they want to take some time out of their busy schedule and then simply pray, but also grow in the knowledge of their faith. So their faith now is renewed and stronger. Or take small group, adult faith formation small groups, right now that are engaged in the Eucharistic revival. They're studying books of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. They meet every week, and in doing so, they're growing in their knowledge of their faith, competent to explain it and talk about it with others. And so must we. Those are the best ways, or just some ways, in which we have to engage lifelong formation. So in doing that, we can now talk about our faith with confidence, teach it to our children, and if necessary, defend it. See, these are all ways in which now we defeat that great threat of ignorance. One last thing to think about. Turn to that second reading from John. John says what? The way we are sure to know Jesus is to keep his commandments. That's perfect. It ties up all three of the readings together. Now that we're growing in the knowledge of our faith, and we are in that loop of grace every time we come to Mass and receive the Eucharist and all the grace that comes with it, now we cooperate with that grace and we live out the knowledge of our faith. We act upon it. It becomes our identity. See, in doing so, ignorance is no longer a threat to us. And may the grace and the peace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.